Turning God's Word this morning to the familiar passage, Luke chapter 2, which gives us the historical account of our Savior's birth. The text this morning will be verse 14. Luke 2, we'll read the first 20 verses of the chapter. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And thus far we read God's word. As I said, the text is verse 14, that song of the angels, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Let's pray. Father, one of the great needs we have is to know peace with Thee. We pray that this word of peace this morning would be a word that we hear as Thy sons and daughters, so that we would be assured of the peace that we have with Thee, our God, and that there is nothing that can take this peace away from us. We pray no matter what the circumstances of our lives may be, we would know peace today, peace with Thee, and we would learn to live in peace as well. Grant strength to Thy servant as he brings this word and open our hearts to receive it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The focus of this song of praise that the angels sang there in the presence of the shepherds, the focus is peace. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. That was the message that the angels sang to these shepherds. It's the message that comes to us as this song is recorded here in Luke chapter 2, verse 14. And this peace is one of the great needs that we have. And so with that in mind, the question that I ask of you this morning is this. Do you know peace with God? It's not, first of all, do you live in peace? Because the reality is none of us does live in perfect peace with others. But the most important question is do you know peace with God? For some of us, at times, that may be a struggle to know that. That's why I ask the question. And the struggle may be our sin. It may be that we're not repenting of our sin. We're holding on to our sin. And as we're holding on to it, we don't know peace with God. Or it may be a great struggle that we face against sin in our own lives, and we struggle to know peace with God. But it might not be that this morning. Maybe it's because of the circumstances of life that you face. They're hard. Everyday life is a burden, and it's difficult, and it weighs down upon you. I think of God's faithful servant Job and what he went through, and that was one of the great struggles he had, even as you read the book of Job. He wondered in the end if God was against him. He knew that he had not committed some great sin, but still, he wondered if God was against him. He struggled, really, to know peace in those circumstances. But also, that's an important question. Do we know peace with God? Because there can be many people who are deceived and think that they know peace. They think that they have peace. I'm sure that there are people, even in the world today, who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and who do not know the one true and living God, and they don't know peace with Him. But if you'd ask them, they say, oh yeah, I'm at peace. I'm at peace. That's how deceptive sin can be. That those who don't have peace think that they do have peace. And we can be deceived as well, thinking we have peace with God, when really we don't. And so we need to face that question, do we know, do we have peace with God? Well, how can we have this peace with God? Where does it come from? Well, remember the series that we're considering. The series we're considering is remembering God's great gifts. And this is another gift of God. God has given the gift of His only begotten Son. And in His Son, He gives us living water. And in His Son, He gives us the ransom price for our sin. But there's another good gift that we see from God, and that is the gift of peace. You cannot have peace on your own. This is a gift that is given by God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and by the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And this is the great gift that you and I need. And now the song that we consider this morning, the song of the angels to the shepherds, is a song that declares this glorious peace. And we need to hear that. God speaking to us as people and saying, you do have peace with me. And it's because of this baby that was born in Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago. So this morning we remember this other good gift, great gift of God to us, the gift of peace. We want to first of all understand what that gift is, what peace is with God. Secondly, the basis of it is that's rooted in the announcement of Jesus Himself, of His birth. And then finally, the response that there is to it, a song of praise to God for what He has given in this peace. Peace, this is something we need. We need to know because of our sin. And that need for peace is something arises even out of the history that we read here in Luke chapter 2. Because remember when the angel first appeared to the shepherds were afraid. There was fear. The opposite of peace is fear before God. I'm not talking about the fear of God, but real, genuine fear before God, being afraid of God and His just judgment. Part of the announcement of Jesus was the fear of these shepherds. Remember these shepherds who were faithfully and carefully attending their flocks at night? And then while they're taking care of those flocks, and these shepherds, no doubt, are discussing things with each other, suddenly the darkness of night was lit up by the glory of God. As light as day, maybe it was, before these shepherds, because the glory of God was shining upon them. And at the same time, an angel of God appeared to them. Just one angel at first. And what was the response of the shepherds to that glory and to that angel? Well, we read that they were sore afraid. They were shaking in their boots. They were quaking. They were very, very afraid at that very moment. Why were they so afraid? We might think, well, just because of the amazing sight that they saw, an angel was before them, and the glory of God. But it was more than that, because the glory of God, when it shines brightly, always exposes sin. And so the shepherds at that moment were thinking that the glory of God was shining there, and an angel had come because God was now coming in judgment. They knew that they were sinners deserving of the wrath of God. They did not, at that moment, know peace with God. They were afraid of Him. Afraid of His just judgment. That response of the shepherds that we see here reminds us of our own sin problem. So that if the light of the glory of God suddenly shines upon us in our lives, would we be afraid? Maybe because of what it is we're doing at that very moment. Yes, we see the light of the glory of God here when we're before the Word of God. But also, if you think of another time in our lives when the light of the glory of God would shine upon us and we're doing something sinful and wrong. It's in our homes when we're not, as parents, acting the right way towards our children. We've lost it with them. We're bickering as husband and wife. We're giving the silent treatment while we're stewing about something. And the glory of God shines upon us. We need that glory of God to shine upon us. And we see then that we've got a problem. The problem is my sin. And the problem of my sin is this. I don't live for the glory of God like I should. And the problem of my sin is I'm not living in peace with others like I should. I'm not loving and serving others like I should. And that's because of my own selfishness. It's because of the pride that lives within me. And so the light of the glory of God this morning reminds us of our great sin problem. We were created by God to live with God in view, to live for His glory. We're created in the very beginning to have this principal motivation in everything we do that is the glory of God. But because of the fall of Adam and Eve and the sinful natures that we all have, we choose the glory of self over the glory of God. And that's reflected in our lives, is it not? That's why materialism is such a problem for us in the materialistic age in which we live, in the materialistic time of the year in which we live. It's because of our problem with sin. That's why conflict is such a problem. We don't live in peace like we should. It's because of that sin that lives within us. And none of that sin ever leads to peace. When we come before God, it leads to condemnation. This is what we deserve before the one true and living God. And that's why we cannot find peace and rest in ourselves. And yet to these very shepherds, the angels suddenly appeared there in the heavens. Not just one anymore, but a choir of angels singing glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. Goodwill toward men. The message of the angels to the shepherds was a message of peace. And the message of the angels to us this morning is that of peace. That is the good tidings of great joy that comes to us this morning. Real peace on earth. What is it? What is this peace? We might easily think, well, how do you describe it? It's just a feeling that we have. Well, no, peace isn't just a feeling that we have. Peace is this. It's to hear God say to us, your sins are forgiven. It's to hear the Word of God in Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Listen to those beautiful words. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. It's to know the beautiful words of Romans 5, verse 1, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. It's rooted in the fact that there is the forgiveness of sins, that God declares to us that we are forgiven and that we are righteous in His sight. But the peace is not just that. It's not just hearing that declaration.
It's in the end knowing that God is not against us, but He is for us. The opposite of peace is war. The opposite of having peace with God is being the enemy of God. And the beautiful word to us today is that we are not the enemies of God, but we are the friends of God. God is for us. He is not against us. He is our Father who loves us. And so this peace is not just a feeling that comes over us, but it's the reality of knowing the relationship that we have with God. It's the reality of knowing what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. It's knowing our sins are forgiven. It's knowing that we are righteous. It's knowing that we are sons and daughters of God. So when I say that knowing, assurance, it tells us that peace is an aspect of faith when God gives us a true and living faith, a faith that looks away from self and looks to Him and looks to Jesus Christ. That which we receive from God then is the declaration of peace and the knowledge and the assurance of this peace that we have with Him. And so we have peace on earth. It's not talking about peace among the nations that God is promising eventually, that in Jesus Christ there will be this great peace so that never is there any more fighting on this earth. That's not what it is. But it's to know in all of our sin struggles, it's to know in all of our hardships and difficulties on this earth that there is real peace with God. It's the peace we find when we're on our knees confessing our sin before God. It's the peace we find through all the struggles and hardships when we're wondering if God is against us and we're going through that great struggle, even a spiritual struggle in it, and the light breaks through and we see and understand, no, God is for us. He's working all of these things for our good. And one other thing to see about this peace, Philippians 4, verse 7, passage I was using a few times recently in some of the visits that I've made with those who are hurting. Philippians 4, verse 7 speaks of the peace of God which passes all understanding. But notice this, what it says about that peace. It shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What that tells us is that the peace of God, this peace we've just been talking about, protects us. It protects our minds and it protects our hearts. You see, Satan, he wants us to doubt. He wants us to wonder about the love of God for us. He wants us to think that our sins are too great. We see our own sins and our conscience accuses us and our minds can spin out of control with all of the weight of the guilt that we deserve for our sins. But then peace. Peace is a protection from all of that. The attacks of our own consciences, the attacks of Satan himself, this peace protects us. What wonderful peace then is declared to us, a peace that protects us from those attacks, even as we go through hardship and difficulty in our lives. Be assured, beloved, this morning, that with all of the sickness and disease, the death, the horrible family situations, the sin and the mess it makes in our lives, yet we have peace with God. To face those things does not mean no peace with God. We have peace with God. Now, how do we know that? What's the basis of knowing that? We've seen and understand the great gift, but how can we know that? Well, that's where this declaration of peace is connected with what was announced before this. Remember what the angel said to the shepherds. He said, "Fear not," verse 10, "for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And then he gives the sign of that. But there's the essence of it. Here's how we can know there is peace with God. It's not because of me and how I'm doing. It's not because my circumstances are great and everything's all rosy. It's because of Him who's come. Jesus Christ, our Savior, who is born in Bethlehem. We remember that the angels sang this doxology in response or as an ending to the announcement in those previous verses. And think about the wonder of that for these angels. These angels, as they declare these things and sing of these things, they're not simply mechanical in doing that. But they sing these things with great excitement themselves. And just think what these angels saw. They knew that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. They knew who that Jesus was. They knew that Jesus was the Son of God come in the flesh. They knew the Son of God as He was in heavenly glory. Not that He wasn't there any longer. That's part of the wonder of it. He's the Son of God. He's everywhere present. But they saw Him, as it were, in all of His glory and majesty as the Son of God. And now they know that He's come to earth in this amazing and miraculous way. And how could they not then sing praise to God? But the point is, for us right now, that as they sing of these things, not mechanically, praising God, they do so because they understand what this is all about. He has come to bring peace. He has come to make peace. This Jesus is the peacemaker. They knew, the angels did, about man's fall. They knew about man's need for a Savior. And they knew that God was fulfilling all of His promises in the Old Testament. And He was sending the One who would make peace so that His people would always have peace with Him. So this morning, as we look at this amazing gift of peace, we have the assurance of it only in looking at Jesus Christ, Him who is born, the only begotten Son of God, who paid the ransom price by giving Himself for our sins. The blessing, the result of that, is peace with God. God has reconciled us to Himself. And that's because that's what Jesus came to do. His mission was not a political mission to establish an earthly kingdom. His mission was not an educational mission to give information and education. This is not a psychological mission for us to feel good about ourselves just as we are. Jesus' mission was so much higher and better than this. He came to bring true peace. That's what He came to do. And that's the beauty of the words that the angels sang here. He came to bring true peace. This we understand when we understand what our problem is. Our problem is not our relationships. Our problem is not my situation, the circumstances of my life. My problem is that without Jesus Christ, I don't have a relationship of love and friendship with God. Without Jesus Christ and without His work, I am an enemy of God. Colossians 1 verse 20 tells us that Jesus Christ came to give peace with God by His death on the cross. Isaiah 9 verse 6 that we read this morning tells us that this Savior promised by God is the Prince of Peace. He is the One who's come to bring us this peace. But there's something more to see this morning. It's not just His death on the cross, but there's also a work that Jesus Christ does within us. The problem is not just the guilt and punishment of my sin, but there's also the problem of the power of sin, the living sin that lives within me. The problem is my heart is dead. But now we remember this morning that Jesus Christ also came to give us new hearts. Remember that when David prayed to God about his sin, he not only prayed that God would be merciful and forgive his sin, but David also prayed this, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Give me a new heart. Change my heart. Change me from the inside out." That's what we need Jesus to do for us as well. We need Him to change our hearts. And this is part of what He came to do, to give us new hearts. Sometimes there are people physically who have hearts that are weak. Maybe they've been born with that. Maybe it's genetic for them. They have hearts that are weak, and eventually, because of that, they need a heart transplant. Well, you know, I don't have just weak spiritual hearts. We have dead spiritual hearts. And that shows the utmost importance of having living hearts, hearts that are alive. And Jesus Christ has come to give us that, to take away that hard and stony heart and give us a soft and fleshy heart that's alive to God, that results in a life of repentance and a life of serving God and living for the glory of God. We see this morning that Jesus Christ is able to make us to be those who live for the glory of God and live in peace with each other. See, part of the sin struggle we have is not just the guilt and punishment, but living in that sin and putting that sin off. We're to put off the old man and put on the new man. We need Jesus Christ to work in our hearts so that we are captivated by the glory of God, so that we live in peace with one another in our marriages, in our homes, as children with each other as well. Our Lord Jesus Christ gives us peace with God through His reconciliation, through the work that He accomplished on the cross, and He gives us the strength and desire to live to glorify God. The basis of it then is Christ and the work that He has done. That's how we have peace with God. But what's behind all of that is God's grace. That's the other part of the text. Goodwill toward men. That speaks to us of the grace and the favor of God. We have peace with God because of the grace of God. Remember what grace is. Children, you remember what grace is? Young people, what's grace? Undeserved favor. Favor that God shows to us that we don't deserve. That's goodwill. Goodwill toward men, not toward all men. Toward His people, God has favor towards them. And when He has favor towards them, He works, He acts. It's not a favor that is hidden, but it's displayed and it's demonstrated in the works that He does. That's what we see in the gift of Jesus Christ to us. We see the amazing grace of God. We ourselves are guilty in sin. We are glory thieves. We want glory for ourselves instead of glory for God. Instead of living with peace in peace with others and living to serve others, we want others to serve us, and we expect them to live in peace with us, even though we maybe don't want to live in peace with them. But now we see and understand that God, in His marvelous grace, even though we're completely unworthy of it, has given His Son. And that's what we see here in Luke 2. In all of this history, a baby who was born outside of Bethlehem in a stable, wrapped in old rags, placed in a feeding trough for His first crib, born in lowliness and in suffering, but He who has come to save us from our sins and display the marvelous grace of God. He came. So in all of His thoughts, desires, actions, and responses, He would fully and completely live for the glory of God by doing the work that God had given Him to do. And there He bore the penalty for our sin. This morning, this is the reason that we celebrate with great joy Christ's birth. Because the only one who can bring us peace with God is Jesus Christ. It cannot be found in ourselves. It cannot be found in this creation. It cannot be found in this world. You will not find peace with more stuff. You will not find peace with just trying to do better and working harder. You will find peace only in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a gift we've been given that we know peace. You maybe know this, that in the world today, one of the times when the suicide rate is the highest is the time of the holidays. It's because people in this world, without knowing Jesus Christ, they don't know peace. It's a great struggle. Now, that doesn't mean that for some of us this morning, the holidays aren't a great struggle. No, they certainly can be. Because of the particular circumstances that you're going through, all the more reason why we need to hear about peace. But there is peace. You need to know that whatever you're going through, there is peace and there is hope because there is victory in Jesus Christ. And so our response to all of that this morning is Glory to God. Glory to God in the highest. Because we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, we respond with these words. Maybe you've gone to hear this time of the year the Messiah. And maybe if you haven't gone to hear it, you've had it playing in the background in your home. And you've heard that song that it's part of the Messiah. These beautiful words, glory to God in the highest. What beautiful words they are. We ought to, in our lives as well, praise God. Just as the angels did long ago. And they didn't give praise to God mechanically. They didn't do it just because they had to. It wasn't without feeling. But understanding and knowing what God was doing, they praised God. They sang out there in the heavens. Haven't you ever read that and thought, wouldn't that be amazing to be the shepherds? To hear this choir of angels singing glory to God in the highest on earth, peace, goodwill towards men, singing it over and over again, certainly not just once. What a song it was. How powerfully it must have been sung. They didn't sing it mechanically. We don't say it or sing it mechanically either today as well. Why? Because we know the grace of God. We know the wonder of it, how unworthy we are of it. We know peace with God. And so we ask ourselves the question, is not God worthy of this kind of praise? But this glory to God is not something just to be said and not just something to be sung, but is something to be lived. We're reminded of that this morning. And that's the question for us as we remember the birth of our Savior as well. Are we committed to living a life that glorifies God? And are we committed to living a life that glorifies God by living in peace, true peace with others, loving them and serving them as God has called us to do? Are we committed to that in our marriages? Are we committed to that in our homes? Reflecting the peace that God makes with us in Jesus Christ. Are we committed to that? Are we committed to that as a church? Are we committed to that in our relationships, whatever those relationships might be? I will live in peace because I know the peace of God. May we be committed as those who know the Prince of Peace to living in this peace in our own lives. That's part of the way in which we bring glory and praise to God. One other thing we notice about this glory and praise that is given to God. We notice the response of the angels in the following verses to these. The response of the shepherds in the following verses. Notice when the shepherds, after they hear this message, they go into Bethlehem. They find where Jesus is. They see Him. And then they leave there and they can't keep their mouths shut. They're declaring to those around them the great things that have been done, and they praise and glorify God as well. They told others about what they've heard. That's what we ought to do as well. That's part of our praising, glorifying God, declaring it to others. And maybe first of all, you're thinking, oh yeah, we have to be busy in our witness in the world. Yeah. But let's not forget right here. Declaring to one another the peace that we have with God and the great things our Lord Jesus Christ has done, especially to those who are hurting and struggling, as we together are hurting and struggling, declaring the goodness of God, the grace of God, the peace that we have with God. May we encourage each other with these words and then also speak of these things out in the world, declaring that there is peace, a true peace, peace that is found only in one, only in Jesus Christ. May we speak today and in the coming days of the greatness of our Savior and of the greatness of His grace and of the peace we have with Him. Beloved, remember the question we started with, do you know peace with God? I pray that the fruit of this word is you know it and you're going to live out of that. May God grant us grace. Amen. Father in heaven, we're thankful for this word of peace to us. We need to know peace with Thee, our God. We pray, O Lord, that Thou wilt strengthen us in the conviction that we have this peace. And we pray also that we would have strength then to live out of that. that we would sing glory to Thee, the God in the highest, for the peace that Thou hast given to us in Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. And may we live this as well, praising Thee by the very way in which we live our lives, living in peace with one another. Grant us strength to do this in the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.